Lord God, please let all that I say come from you and through me and out to others. Amen.
Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I love celebrations. I love birthdays and anniversaries and graduations. And as a nation, this weekend, we're going to celebrate Memorial Day to honor those who gave their lives for our freedom. You know, marking mankind's achievements happens all over the world in celebration of our human ingenuity. But think about our Christian celebrations. You know, we celebrate some pretty extraordinary events, some unimaginable, humanly impossible acts of God in the world. You know, today is no exception, as this is the day when Jesus was lifted up. He put his arms up in the air, he blessed his disciples, and then, unimaginable in our ordinary world, God has done some pretty extraordinary things. You know, in many of our churches, there's a paschal candle, and it's first lit and kept burning throughout the Easter season as a sign that Christ is risen and he is present among us. Back in the day, it was the tradition to extinguish that candle on Ascension Day, because that marked 40 days of the Easter season. Jesus rose from the dead, he walked among us, and then he ascends and he's no longer with us. And that kind of left us with this emptiness while we waited for the Holy Spirit to come. So when Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came, it was more of a stand-in for Jesus. Today I'm really glad because a more ancient and I think arguably a more profound meaning of Jesus' ascension has emerged. And I'm glad because I think it really honors the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The resurrection and the ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit are now more understood as pieces of one greater picture. With God, there's no looking back. Not at all. Jesus has not gone away, so the paschal candle is going to burn on this Sunday, and we're going to continue to greet each other as Alleluia, Christ is risen. Just as the resurrection does not turn back the clock to a time that the way things were before Jesus died, the ascension is also not going to turn back the time to the way things are before he was born. God's movement, Bishop Curry would say, the Jesus movement is always forward. Let's take a look at what happened in the gospel today. Close your eyes if you want, but I want you to imagine that you were there with them, having walked with Jesus throughout his ministry, remembering the miracles that you witnessed and the loving acceptance that he showed just about everyone he met. The last few months, however, have been pretty much emotionally and spiritually draining. We went from riding high into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna in the highest to that self-realization that no matter how much faith we have, we are still human and we are capable of denying Jesus. And that makes the crucifixion sting even a little more deeply. Then, back to the high when we discover he's alive and he's resurrected from the dead. So now, in today's story, here we are gathered on the Mount of Olives, standing here with Jesus. And you know, even knowing what comes next, I'm not sure any of us could imagine that unbelievable event that they're about to witness. Jesus spoke to them saying, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Did you catch that? Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. That line made me stop and take a hard look at the whole gospel. Because you mean to tell me that for the last 3 years, Jesus could have simply opened the minds of the disciples to understand and eliminated all of the confusion? Eliminated the frustration? The ability to instantly enable people to comprehend the complexity of our relationship with God would have come in pretty handy multiple times. I think so. Seriously, if Jesus had just like done this from the start, I think the gospel would have been about a paragraph long. You know, it would have been. It would have been something like this. Jesus was born and grew up. At the wedding of Cana, he performed his first miracle. People had questions. So he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He told us all to love God and each other. They immediately took him to the Romans. He was crucified, died, buried. He rose from the dead, ascended to the heavens, and will come again to judge the living and the dead in the end. But I'm not sure that that gospel would be sustainable. I don't think it would stand the test of time. Because Jesus needed to lead by example. He needed to have a fully human and relatable experience with the people, with us. People needed to participate in changing their ways and learning to love each other. Experience is our best teacher. And we need to see ourselves in the story, to recognize our behavior, to feel the love and the joy and the hope and the brokenness and the healing and the redemption of Jesus. We need to feel that love ourselves. People value what they work to achieve. Jesus calls us to participate in his sharing of God's love and the message of salvation with the whole world. That's what he's calling us to do. All of us are members of the priesthood of all people and called to spread the gospel through our words, through our actions. The disciples' minds were open, so when Jesus ascended into heaven, they rejoiced. They understood and they trusted their eyes and they trusted what had been revealed to them and they trusted Jesus. They were given the gifts of the Spirit and they proclaimed repentance and forgiveness right from Jerusalem out. So now what about us? Do we believe the gospel? Do we trust the account of the ascension of Jesus? Did this mind-opening, extraordinary event take place? Dr. Walter Eversley, my theology professor, used to say, just because something has never happened before in the history of the world, it does not mean it is not possible. Imagine right now, your priest, Denise, for example, your spiritual guide, your priest. What would happen if she began to levitate and floated across and through and out the doors of the church? And of course, we're all chasing after her, and we get to the edge of the rail, and we look up, and there she goes, and she gets smaller, and then she's gone. Okay. I think we'd all look at each other in disbelief, wouldn't we? I mean, who do we tell? How would we report that? I don't know how I'd explain it to your daughter. I just don't. Yeah, your mom was here. I haven't seen her. It's really difficult to be a believer and have faith, I think. Do you have trouble with that, believing, having faith all the time? You know, the thing I find more difficult to do is to trust, because I don't want to appear foolish. If I trust God, then belief is easier, and faith is made simpler, and grace is given more freely. When my trust fails, that's when the foundation of my faith crumbles. And I do trust. I trust God, and I trust all of us. In Paul's letter, he tells us, I've heard of your faith. I see your faith in the actions you take out of love for each other, and I give thanks for each and every one of you. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust God and listen to your heart and open your mind to the wonder that is God's creation. Live into the call to spread the good news of love and salvation to everyone. And remember to pray for each other, because we are all in this together. Amen.